Welcome to John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring me, the one that just flew in, and boy, are his arms tired. Ah, these just seem to get worse every time. I don't know. John Wayne, me, that's right. Here I am, back in Houston, back in the Library of Evil, nestled on the east wing of Wayne Manor, all tucked in and nice and dark and evilly, like I like it. I did just fly in from Denver about 2 hours ago, or maybe an hour and a half ago, and it was a great time. That, man, what a time it was in Denver to be alive. It's so many great things. Went there to visit my wife's sister, who lives there in Denver and works there and habitates there, and also, you know, to have some time, just like a vacation type thing, just to get away. I was trying to hook up like a reading to do some kind of thing while I was in town, and it was getting sketchy and harder to track down and do it. So I was just like, fuck it, I'm not gonna do anything like work related while I'm there. I'm just gonna enjoy it. I did get a lot of writing done on a couple of days, but you know, Katie and I, we get there, we fly into Denver on this past Wednesday, right? So some of you may know or not know, Denver got hit by a blizzard last Wednesday, like some out of the blue blizzard that just like they was coming in. They, you know, the day before, they're like, oh shit, a blizzard's coming. After we landed, they canceled, is when the flight started getting canceled. So we got in just like under the wire because all the flights going out when we landed were canceled. They canceled over 800 flights, I think, coming out of Denver that day. So we were like, whew, we made it. So we take the train and you know, we go into town from the airport, and it's starting to snow, you know, and that's cool. I'm like, yeah, man, we don't see snow a lot. So I'm stoked on that. We're, you know, going on this train, seeing all this stuff that's taking us into the city. So it's cool. It's like, all right, man, we're here. It's snowing and shit. But we, you know, we get dropped off at the station, and it's like kind of like nice and shit in there. They've got bars and restaurants and stuff in this Union Hall station or whatever it's called, Union City State. I'm not sure. We stop and we have a beer and call an Uber to take us to our Airbnb where we're going to stay for the first part of the week, first 2 days. We're going to stay with Katie's sister the next 2 days. And it starts snowing like a bitch, dude. Like, it is coming down like hard and fast, man, and that is what she said. And it was cold as ice, dude. So we, you know, we get our, you know, Uber. This guy picks us up. He was pretty cool. He said he'd been out to the airport and back 7 times already, and the last 3 people he took, flights got canceled or something crazy like that. And then of course he's telling us all about the snow and how driving in it is and stuff. And it's just, man, it's snowing hard, and everything is getting covered quick, you know. It's hard to see while we're driving. It's, you know, it's all white, you know, and stuff like that. And it's so, you know, I'm like, well, you, the Uber driver guy is like, well, you know, you picked a bad time to come. You know, I wish the weather was better for you. And I'm like, no, man, this is totally fine. When we left, it was like 90 degrees in Houston, so I can take a little bit of snow for a couple days. I enjoy that quite fine, thank you. And enjoy it we did. So we get to the Airbnb and get all settled in and shit. And of course, you know what I want to do. I got to go visit the local dispensaries so that I can, you know, help to support the local economy. You know, I'm very big on that. So I looked on my little map there and found there was a dispensary. The closest one to us was, you know, it's not that far. It was like maybe 0.4. 4 miles, something like that. So it's less than half a mile. Just it was like 2 blocks over and maybe like 4 or 5 blocks down. Something looked simple, seemed simple enough. Katie's like, I'm gonna go with you. And I'm like, all right. We get bundled up, we start walking, and we're walking in the snow, and it's like we weren't even halfway there when I was like, gosh, this is such a bad idea, because we're getting covered in snow. I was born in Pittsburgh, but I only lived there until I was 6. I'm not super familiar with snow or remember how it works and what you're supposed to do, like stop, drop, and roll or something. I'm not sure. But the snow is just like building up on us, like on my jacket, like on my, you know, my hood and stuff. And I turn around and look at Katie, and she's just covered like all white snow all over her and shit. And I'm like, oh man, we got to, I was like, I thought we might get frozen mid stride or something. You know, I was going to have to leave Katie behind. Like, I loved you. I must continue on and go to the weed store. And we finally got there and we were covered in snow. Luckily, like, weren't too wet. I wasn't too wet. You know, my leather jacket kept it, didn't get wet. My jeans were kind of fine. It was fine. We get to this store and it's relatively quick. I know exactly what I want. I get some pre-rolled joints, and they had a sale on like some half ounces that they were getting rid of or whatever. It was like the end, or I'm not sure what, but I bought this half ounce. And Katie's like, how are you gonna smoke all that in 4 days? And I was like, I can't, you know. Is that a challenge? It's not even a challenge. It's just a Thursday, you know? So we take that, we go, and there's a bar across the street that we have drinks at, and we just get an Uber back to our place because I'm not walking through that snow again. And so we go about that time where we just hit up some bars, went to a couple record stores. I got some books. So I went to this place called Kilgore Books, like Kilgore Trout, and I picked up a book by called The Funhouse by Owen West, who's actually Dean Koontz. It's one of the pseudonyms he wrote under, so that was a cool find. And I got this anthology from a local publisher called Blood and Gasoline. I think it is from Hex Publishing, which is in Denver, or in Colorado. Yeah, in Denver, I believe, or Colorado, somewhere close. And you know, I was like, cool, I'm gonna buy this because it's in the local section. But then I started looking through the authors, and I saw Gabino Iglesias is in that, and I was like, hey, I know that guy, so that's cool. So I picked that up, and I'll check that out. So good finds, good times around that. You know, hanging out with the sister, all that stuff was cool. We went to of note to the True Brewing, which is very aesthetically similar to what Brash does. It's all like metal and devils and just doomy and shit like that. And that was very cool. I drank a few of their beers, got a crowler, and you know, that was one of the highlights of drinking on the trip for me. And it was just a great time, and I did actually, you know, get some relaxing done, I feel, or was able to just relax a little bit, like I've been talking about the last couple of weeks, of trying to just, okay, let me just slow down a little bit, let me take some time. And I think that this 4 day stint was what I need, 5 days, whatever it was, helped me out a lot. You know, like I said, I did still do some work while I was there, but I was just kind of going with the flow. And it was a good trip. Now, I know that most of you are probably already wondering, what did you do with all that weed? Did you smoke it all? What happened? Well, I did smoke all of the joints, and I smoked a couple little bowls. I bought a pipe of that. Oh shit! Hold on, before I tell you that, I forgot. Like, also, I got tattooed while I was there. That was what I was leading up to, and I distracted myself. My man Sean Oz Oliver moved up there to Denver. He actually lives in outside of Denver. I forget what the city is called, but his the Jasper or something. I'm not sure. He lives in the mountains and little town there. And his tattoo parlor he opened, it's called Summit Inc. He does badass work. Of course, his business is booming, and I'm very happy for that. So he's doing really well. His shop is really nice. Like, he's got it set up just the way he likes it. So badass. And it was great to see Sean. He's tattooed me for 16 years now, which we were talking about that while we were there. You know, I hired his son, Zane, to work at the Starbucks that I ran. I knew Zane when he was like little, like not like elementary school little, and now I'm like hiring him to be my, you know, barista and shit. And it's just good to see, you know, those kind of connections. You don't have a lot of those in life, I don't think, you know. And when you keep those kind of people in your life, and they keep coming back into your life, and you keep in touch, I think that's very special. That's very important. And, you know, Sean does great work. That's how I discovered him initially. And it's been a wonderful 16 years since then. He's, you know, covered my arms, my chest, my stomach. And now we're on the back. And I sat for about 5.5 hours, I want to say, all told, I think. And for the most part, it was easy. Now, he did the outline already and some of the shading. Just some backstory on this. He started this back tattoo when he still lived in Houston. And then he decided to move to Colorado. Like, it was a very quick decision. They had to act on some offer that he had. And he went and moved within 2 weeks of knowing that he was going to move. So he didn't get a lot of time to work on stuff. And he had other customers to finish. He came back into Houston maybe, you know, a few months after that, or after a year or something. And he did some more shading. Nah, it just wasn't a year. It was a few months later. Did some shading on my back. And then now maybe that's been a year. And I finally get to go out to him. And he did a bunch of shading on it. And for the most part, it was did not hurt too bad. It was pretty easy. But man, like, it was starting to get super painful, like by my shoulder blade. He's doing some shading like down the like the ridge of my shoulder blade. Oh my God, that hurt. It hurt so bad. I actually had to take a break. He sprayed me with Bactine so it would like chill. But also, to be fair, like that was within the fifth hour. We were like nearing the end. So it was within the last hour and a half we were working. So I'd been sitting for all that time without, you know, any kind of marital aid or whatever you want to call it. But and I never sprayed like Bactine. I never thought about that. But I was asking him before we got to started because someone had told me about, like, hey, they went and got tattooed and the guy put some numbing cream on them and they couldn't feel anything the whole time that the guy worked and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, I've never heard of that. So I asked Sean about it. He said he had some. He showed me a couple, but he said I don't know, man. Some of them aren't like that great. I mean, it seems like some of them make people like break out. They're just kind of hit or miss. But he was telling me, like, yeah, Bactine, spray that, you know, for while we're working if it gets too intense or anything. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. So we did bust that out and use it. And I'll tell you what, it definitely doesn't take the pain away. But man, it took that edge, that little bite where it was getting so intense that I was like, oh God, this hurts so bad. It just takes that little edge off. And I was able to power through like the next hour or so till we were done. And man, it looks great. I'm very happy. And then this is another thing that I haven't done or used before. I think Dana, my friend that tattooed my side not too long ago, shouts out Dana October Rose, the best at October Rose, she's a tattoo artist, wonderful artist, lovely, wonderful person, tattooed my side. And she put this clear plastic thing over it that was like, yeah, you keep this on and it heals underneath it or whatever. I was like, whoa, that's weird. But I don't know if it was on right or I pulled it or something like that, because it came off like pretty much a few hours later. But Sean was like, you know, he's like, no, I'm going to wrap you up with that stuff before you leave. And I was like, oh, really? Does it work? He said he resisted using it for a while, but then he tried it on himself and it worked great. So now he uses it. And what it is, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't know what it's called, like derma something. But it's basically like almost like saran wrap, but not like it's clear. It's like this clear kind of sticky film that he put like all over my back, like in sections. So my whole upper back and around like the tops of my shoulders, everything he tattooed is covered in this clear plastic weird shit. And it's been on there since Friday. It's Sunday right now. And he said, you know, you're supposed to keep it on for 6 days and just act like it's just like you never got a tattoo. Just do it. And what that does is that first 6 days is the hardest healing for your tattoo. It does all that healing underneath this covering, and you don't, without you even being able to fuck it up. Because if people are going to fuck up their new tattoo, it's going to be within the week, the first week that they got it, because they either don't wash it right or wash it too much, or they either use the wrong lotion on it or they put a bunch of fucking lotion on it. You're supposed to put little teeny tiny baby dick of a smear, you know, just a little thin layer, and people go nuts and then it starts to seep, and then scab, and that's how that's basically pulling the new ink right out of your fucking arms or your body. You spent all that time getting tattooed, and you screwed it up. Well, not me. So this is supposed to prevent that for people, but it's also, if I'm telling you this, I would be a lot more irritable if this wasn't on there, because like it's not like I don't feel anything on my back, but I'm sitting here, I have a, you know, a shirt on. If having like a t-shirt on that against all my raw ass back and flying today and shit like that, that would have been shitty. That would have sucked, and I would have been mad. So I'm glad that this is where I'll give the update. I think it's gonna be all right though. Yeah. So that stuff's cool, and you know, and Sean's a great guy, and we had a great time tattooing. I'm gonna get out there again. He's gonna come back here like maybe September, August to do some more tattooing on his old clients and myself, and you know, yeah, he's living the dream out there, man. So big ups, Sean and Summit Inc. Now back to the weed that I was talking about. I'm sorry if I'm all over the place, guys. Like I said, it's been a whirlwind of traveling a day today. I'm just got home, and you know, I'm fucking crazy anyway, so I'll just talk about whatever. So welcome, thank you. If you're joining for the first time, thank you so much. Yeah, so I had all that weed, right? So I was kind of like already deciding from the first day how I was gonna work this. I smoked the joints, and the joints, pre-rolled joints are good, but if you don't smoke them all in one, like, hit go, it resonates, and it gets harder to pull, and it's just, so I broke a lot of them open, and just smoked the weed in a little pipe that I bought at the dispensary, a $5 glass pipe. But I was like, man, you know, every time I go to someplace, I end up with extra weed, a place where it's legal state, I end up with extra weed. And I always like give it to somebody, you know, or leave it in the hotel, you know, whatever, just for someone to find, or give it to somebody. And it's like, it sucks, man. You know, I want to take my weed with me. So I start doing some research. Now, I've talked about this before, but I'll say it again. LAX, you're allowed to fly out of Los Angeles with 1 ounce of marijuana on you legally. That is that's no trickery involved. Now where you land and get off or whatever, that they're like, you're subject to wherever you go. So if they fuck you up, that's on you. If you get arrested, whatever, but you're allowed to. So, you know, and I know from talking to people that, you know, they're not looking for drugs, they're looking for bombs now. That's all it is. So I start looking on some forums, and I start like specifically people flying out of Denver and seeing like what they do. And you know, the best advice I read, one, this guy said he always flies with his weed. He's never hidden it or anything. He just puts it in like one little, like a zip bag, throws it in his backpack, and it's all together. And if they stop you, what the official TSA response that you get from TSA when asked this question, if you find marijuana on a person, what do? They turn you over to a Denver police officer, who, they're right there. There's a little mini station right by security, like most airports, I guess. And they will either tell you to take it home or throw it away. And that's it. Every account I read was what the official position on. Now they try to get squirrely on it, because they're like, and it is up to you, but it's also, you know, it could be punished, you know, whatever, by federal, but they're just, they don't want to deal with that shit. They don't want to deal with, you know, people bringing little bitty shit through. So I didn't even really hide it. I put it in I had a bottle for one of my pills. I poured that bottle in with another bottle to mix, and I just put the whole half ounce in this, you know, an oversized pill bottle that I had. Just threw it in my backpack. And then I was like, I had that pipe. I was going to throw that away. I was like, fuck it. If I'm going down, we're going down swinging. Threw the pipe in my backpack. Boom. We just went through there, and nothing happened. I got through. They didn't say shit. And I got home here now. I have a very cheap half ounce that I was able to buy, a very good weed, and I was able to keep it all. So that pretty much dispels all of my fears that I've had about trying to do something like that, trying to fly with stuff. You know, I know people have told me that have flown with it and whatever, that it's fine, dude, but now I know it is fine. And also, like last time, when I was flying from Portland in January, I had a joint in the pocket, inside pocket of my leather jacket, and I didn't even know it till I was on the second plane. I was on, like, my connection home. Like, I went through security, they didn't say shit. Plane, I went on another plane, and I had a joint in my pocket the whole time. I didn't, and see, I don't know. I just think that it's not really being looked at too closely in the airports today. Or, you know, maybe it's just whatever. Maybe I got lucky, you know, so who knows. But I'm willing to push my luck on that for sure. I just got a nice cup of coffee there. It's the afternoon, but I still had to make some coffee and get a Topo Chico. And yes, I am now smoking that very Grandpappy's medicine that I have brought back with me from the promised land of Denver, Colorado. Yeah, so it was a great trip, and I got my weed there. I got tattooed. Fantastic. I got some cool records and books. Happy to be back, relaxed, and ready, because I got a bunch of shit coming up, such as this Friday at Fixation, which is a fetish variety show that goes on at the Secret Group, 8 o'clock, I believe. Yeah, 8 o'clock, I think. And it's going to be a great show. I'm tabling there. I'm going to have all my books. I'm supposed to get refreshment shipment of Asking on TV tomorrow in the mail. And so come on out to Secret Group if you're in Houston. It's Emily Snow who runs it with Scabs the Clown. It's her birthday show, and it is a funeral theme. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And then from there, man, I've got something May the 4th. And then I'm off to Chicago, folks, before you even know it. And then I'll be gone for a long time. So it's going to be great. Relaxing. I'm taking in all that energy right now. It's trying to stay positive and get ready to go out there fucking swinging, pretty much, I guess. So this brings us to our tarot reading for the day. I, as you know or don't know, I do a 3-card tarot reading on myself every week before the show, just as a thought exercise, you know, whatever's bothering me or whatever I'm trying to think about or is on my mind for that week. I kind of write down those thoughts while I'm shuffling up the cards, deal 3 of them, and kind of look at my situation through the perspective of the cards to try to get a different view, a different angle, maybe some perspective on what I'm thinking, what I'm going through, or whatever. So today, while I was shuffling it up, I was thinking about organization. For one, on that, you know, I just did my taxes for the first time this year as like an independent contractor for my, you know, for books and traveling and stuff like that. And man, dude, we got fucked, man. Like, this tax thing is, the new tax deal is so stupid for independent contractors. We definitely got screwed a lot. So some more organization has to come into play for me, where I mentioned this before in the past episodes, you know, I want to get better at, you know, how the spending and money comes in and out at these conventions that I go to, and you know, I need that money that comes in to get higher than the money that goes out, and I need to control what I can of that. So being organized is something I've been thinking about. Planning, always, focus, and I put mental toughness against haters is the word I guess I wrote down, but detractors and anything, person or situation that is trying to keep you from moving forward. For me, you know, I again, I'm not going to go too much into this. I don't understand trolls or haters that just comment things on your social media just to be hurtful, or just to think they're making fun of you or something like that. I don't understand this. But again, I had someone who friended me, did not friend them, just to start posting, commenting on my pictures, just making fun of me, basically saying I was an idiot. And that, right away I was like, man, fuck this, I'm not gonna get roped in, I blocked this person, whatever. But it does stay on my mind for a little bit, and I'm build that mental toughness is what I need to build more, because it just pisses me off, and I don't need to get pissed off over things like this, and I don't need to dwell on them or anything. So I it's just some mental toughness that I want to develop further, that kind of callus, you know, I talked about that we build the calluses of, like, first it's about getting rejected, you know, you're gonna get rejected so many times, you have to build that callus. Rejection is part of it, failure is part of it. You don't get better unless you get rejected. You grow when you fail. Those things are all inevitable, but they hurt at first, and you have to just get that toughness, build that callus, and when you do, it's a lot easier. It's all easier said than done, I understand, but it can be done, and it does help to get easier. So that's something I really just need to focus on right now. I need to stop getting in my head about stupid shit like that. So we dealt some cards today, and the first card I got was the Sun. Oh, the Sun with a naked baby riding on a horse in the mountains. It's so beautiful. Gotten this card before, and so this is how we start off. So the Sun is a card of positivity. It represents strength, radiance, and abundance. It says that you're flowing with radiant energy, you see the bright side, and people are drawn to you because of it. So we talked about that before, like, just there's sometimes people who are just have such a either a positivity or some kind of je ne sais quoi that draws you to them, and that's what this is speaking on, you know. And I think it's just basically talking about confidence and, you know, just being accepting, you know, to shine love on all you care about. You know, you don't need a reason to do that. If I don't know, you should. I'm trying to, let's get my words right here. I like to compliment people. I like when I don't know. I think that mentioning these things to each other, complimenting each other on things when you see if someone is deserved of a compliment, I think it's the right thing to do to pay that compliment or say, like, the give them, I don't know, for lack of a better term, give them the attaboy or whatever. Like, hey, man, good job. We don't do that enough. I don't think we do. I don't think we recognize each other enough for the things that we do. You know, a lot of times it's more like, fuck him. And that's the super wrong attitude. You know, I don't get down with that at all. I want all my friends to do well, and I'm happy that I know so many awesome people that do such great things. I'm humbled by it, and I want them to do excessively well. It makes me happy when I hear that. The Sun, okay, despite challenges, you've discovered who you are, you're full of energy, and you can perceive abundance and success flowing your way. So that's kind of, you know, I look at that as having been able to come through challenges, come through hard stuff, and now you know who you are, which is always a struggle. You're always going to come through a hard time to finding your voice, finding who you are. But when you do, like, yeah, you are full, like, I see this, you're full of energy. And, you know, sometimes you've been through such shit, there's no way that the good stuff isn't coming. You see it coming a mile away, and I think that's what that's talking about. But there's that suffering initially that's involved in that, and navigating that suffering, I think, is where we get tripped up and can't even get to this point that the Sun card is saying. The Sun connects you to a power that is not fear-driven or egotistical. Again, people were drawn to this energy. I used this example last time, you know, the person that comes into a room and just everyone's, holy shit, you know, that they're drawn to them. They cast a large wake. Everyone's standing around them hearing their stories. That's this kind of energy that this card represents. And it says to expect vitality and good health. So I am counting on that as well. I feel healthy. I feel great. And, yeah, so the Sun is a pretty positive card about knowing who you are, coming through the shit, and getting out of it. So when I think about that compared to, like, what I was thinking about, or, you know, in in regards to my thoughts, like say about the detracting comments and stuff like that, or people saying stuff, to me, I look at that, it's like, man, fuck that. I had this before. I still have it now. I still have it. You know, these people aren't taking it away from me. They're not taking away my accomplishment. And, you know, they're not going to detract me from my goal. I've already gone through all the bullshit to find who I am. So I'm not going to pay attention to you while you're going through whatever you need to get through to find out who you are. And for some reason, it involves being an asshole in some way or another. I don't know, but I'm also not going to worry about it. Next card, Two of Swords. Two of Swords is pretty cool. Like there's a woman sitting in a throne kind of thing, and she's blindfolded with two swords with her arms crossed in front of her, holding them like balanced. She's balancing them, holding them out, but she can't see anything. So the Two of Swords is basically about facing a challenging decision and being unclear about which option to take. It says you're to weigh your pros and cons, of course. Use your head and heart to choose a path most in alignment with your higher self. And what that means is the path that's going to take you to your goal in some capacity. Going that way, making this choice, is only going to aid in you getting further in what you're trying to achieve, which the higher self represents. When I read this, I look at it as like, this may just be me. I mean, again, this is all me saying this. I'm just talking about myself. I'm not putting this on anybody else. But when it says like, you know, the path, you know, choose the thing that's going to help you, I think most of the time, at least for me, when I get a hard decision, I already know what the right decision is to make. There's not a lot of, the only waffling, you know, is because it's scary to be that sure. And so it does deserve some time to think on. But even you could think about it for a day or 10 days and still come to that same conclusion that your gut told you to do initially. At least that's what I feel. And I think that we do kind of like, no, I have to think about this, because it's not always the decision that we want to make. It's going to create more, you know, more challenges for yourself, but you know you gotta do it. You know you do. It's a reminder that life's decisions are difficult and rarely come with a clear-cut answers. Make your choices with your best intentions and fully aware of possible consequences. Good or bad, because the consequences, when it says fully aware of the consequences, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be something bad. It could be something good, and you need to be aware of that as well as the bad stuff. And, you know, this card's main leave you with kind of thought is avoidance of these type of decisions lead to greater conflict. They don't just disappear in the air and go away. You have to make these decisions, and you can't let them just float out in the wind like that. It doesn't work like that. So that, to me, and in my, you know, thoughts and looking at what I'm trying to do, you know, in my decision making, in my planning and my decision making, I need to look at every choice I make as, does this serve my higher purpose? Or, i.e., is this serving me to get higher on the path of my career, or, you know, get further down the road here? Is this helping me, or is this choice, although I may want to make it, is it hindering me? And sometimes, you know, I do admit that I make the choices that put a little hindrance, you know, in my way, because I wanted to do that thing more. So it's a good reminder. Okay, where is this last one I got? King of Cups. Now, I know I got King of Cups a couple weeks ago too, And he's a good cap for the end of this, because the King of Cups represents mastery over the realms of emotion, creativity, and the unconscious. I liked that a lot about this card last time I got it. You have control of your feelings, and you draw from emotional maturity to navigate challenges. You steer clear of drama, choosing an emotionally balanced and calm approach. You know, this is kind of like the King of Cups. Again, it's a great cap on the end of this for me, with all the things of, like, you know, the choices, the conflict, coming through conflict, figuring out who you are, making choices that only serve that path of knowing who you are, and then coming to the end, the King, he's the master of the realm of that. His emotions, his creativity, he's got it all in check. You know, his control of his feelings, he doesn't deal with drama. I hate fucking drama. It's just, you know, he's just calm and knows what he's doing, and is confident in what he's doing and saying. The King is level-headed, in control of his emotions, stays true to those and all others. Stay true to those emotions, and do not allow others to steer you off course, i.e. people commenting negatively, you know, trash talk, whatever you want to say, those type of things that I was talking about earlier. I can't let those throw me off of my path, or steer me off course. So, you know, and as a leader, achieving goals is important to the King of Cups, making sure everyone is happy. He's learned that it's like, you know, there's so much about what I'm doing that is focused on myself, and I know that, and I know I'm super selfish a lot, and I know that I throw way more concern and stuff into my career than probably anything else. But I recognize that I need to be less selfish with those some things. Again, some of these decisions, like the Two of Swords is telling me, and not make them solely about me. I need to make sure everyone is happy. Everyone concerned is happy, like this King does. And you're drawn to this when logic and emotion are out of balance. So when your logic and emotion are out of balance, people are drawn to that King of Cups, that personality, because something about the confidence that they have and being calm and being able to keep emotions out of it, whatever that is, that kind of writes those things for people, sets it straight again. Logic and emotion, I mean. So yeah, so there you go, man. That's the reading for this week. I got something very nice out of this. I hope you did too. And I appreciate you listening. Now, on to our story portion of the show today. So like I said, I just got back from Denver. Now, this is my second time in Denver. The first time I went actually spawned a story that I've told at a lot of shows, and is actually the first story I told on this podcast, called Don't Be That Guy. So I'm going to do something a little different this week, kind of in honor of me going to Denver, kind of revisiting that, and that story kind of, you know, we're almost at 100 episodes, so I'm sure there's people who haven't started at the beginning, if you're a new listener or whatever. What I'm going to do is, I told this story at the Moth here in Houston, a while back, and I have a very nice recording of that, me telling it live in front of about 250 people. So I'm going to go ahead and, for our story today, I'm going to play the audio for me telling the Denver story at the Moth, Don't Be That Guy, in honor of my return to Denver and not dying. So we'll go ahead and call this Don't Be That Guy 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Hey. Well, I was going to start by taking my shirt off, but that guy already blew that one, so we'll just get right into it. I love weed. I mean, I really love weed. I get high all the time. I'm high right now. So, knowing this about me, it should come as no surprise that within 2 weeks of recreational marijuana becoming legal in the great state of Colorado, I was on a plane headed to Denver. As soon as we got there, my girlfriend and I found the first dispensary we could come to, and I purchased an eighth of a very high-grade sativa. It was called Shaman. 2 tins of THC mints, 10 milligrams apiece, and a 100 milligram chocolate truffle. I then retreated with the spoils of our freedom back to our hotel room, which was on the 9th floor of a 9-story boutique hotel in the middle of downtown Denver. I went up to our room, I sat down at the little desk, and I meticulously rolled 3 of the most beautiful joints I had ever rolled in my entire life. I turned to our window, I threw it up all the way, and I took out my purple lighter with a picture of a dolphin jumping out of the water on it. I placed that on the windowsill and turned to grab the first of the 3 joints. And as I turned back around, I saw my lighter slide right off the sill and out the window. No big deal. I asked my girlfriend if I can borrow her lighter. She doesn't have one. It's a hotel room. There's got to be matches, right? No matches. So I peek my head out the window, I pull myself up and look down, and then I see that not 3 feet below the window is a ledge, and on that ledge is my dolphin lighter. I tell my girlfriend that I'm just going to hop right out the window, get on the ledge, grab the lighter, jump back in, no problem. Now, she didn't think that this was my best idea that I'd ever had, but she also knows that when I put my mind to something, I stick to it. So, I began to back out the window. I held on to the sill, and I lowered myself down. When I was stretched all the way out, and my feet weren't touching the ledge yet, I realized that I might have misjudged the distance. But I figured I had to be close, right? So I let go. That was actually when I realized that I had grossly misjudged the distance, because I fell at least another 3 feet before I hit the ledge, landing on the balls of my feet with my knees bent, and I lost my balance. My knees locked, I pushed back off the building, and now I am falling off the side of a 9-story building. A lot of people will tell you when something like this happens, everything slows down, but not for me. Nothing about this experience was slow. You can call it reflex or instinct, but I threw my hands up above my head and just so happened to catch the ledge. So now I'm hanging from a 9-story building, and the only thought that's going through my head is, if I fall, I am going to be that guy. I'm gonna be that guy who sets back the marijuana movement in this country decades. Decades. I could hear it now. Oh, stoner tourist falls to his death trying to get his lighter off a ledge while he wanted to smoke his legal weed. I couldn't be that guy. So I summoned all of my stoner strength. I swung to one side and used the momentum to hook my leg up onto the ledge, pull myself up, and now I'm standing on the ledge again. Between my legs is my dolphin lighter. I reach down, pick it up, go to throw it in the window. Shit. That window is high. I knew the longer I sat out here and thought about it, the more I was going to start freaking out. So I put it out of my mind, threw the lighter through the window, and jumped as high as I could. I caught the ledge with the tips of my fingers, pulled as hard as I could, got a better grip, and clawed my way through the window. I was safe. My arms were bloodied, my pants were torn, my shins were ripped apart, but I was safe. So, I smoked that joint. Then I smoked the second joint, then I smoked the third joint, and then I ate that truffle, and I went downstairs, and I stood on the sidewalk underneath our window, and I looked up at how high I was. And I realized how far I could have fallen. I'm so glad I wasn't that guy. Thanks, guys.
She used to work with my sister at Starbucks, and I can attest to that. I always remember talking, how'd your day go at work? She's like, fuck, John, we should fly again. Jesus. He's great. Give it up one more time. It's a great story.
All right. There you go. Yeah. Yikes. I know. Every time I do tell that story, it freaks me out a little bit more because I wish I was making it up. I wish that I were embellishing it, but there's just no way for me to. I don't know. That's what happened, and it scares me to this day. But unless I did fall and died, and now I am stuck in some kind of way in my mind where this is my purgatory or whatever I've invented, or this is my heaven, or hell, or whatever I've created for myself, then I'm alive and made it. So I live to tell the tale and to do stupid shit all over again, which is chronicled very, very well throughout this podcast and many Grown Up Storytime stories. Big up Grown Up Storytime. So thank you guys again for listening. Subscribe, please, and tell your friends. If you haven't subscribed, we are on Stitcher now and iTunes, Google Play. We're out there, baby, and we are loving it. So please check us out. Visit johnwayneisdead.com for all your John Wayne needs. All of the shows and that Chris and I play as John Wayne is Dead are listed, as well as the events that I will be tabling at or reading at, all the conventions I have coming up. All of that's on there. Also at johnwayneisdead.com, you go to the shop page and you can pick up my new book, As Seen on TV, as well as all of my other books, such as Scummer and Death Packs and Left Hand Paths. The new John Wayne is Dead 12-inch record is there. Pick that up, new t-shirts, all that kind of stuff. Again, you know when you order from the store, it's coming from me, so I'm going to personalize it and I'm going to send you some extra goodies. But all of this is also available on Amazon and Kindle. If that's the way to go. I use my Kindle like it's going out of style, man. I always have a regular book. I mean, I have a analog book, a hard, you know, copy book, and something else that I'm reading on the Kindle because I can read that while I'm doing cardio and stuff at the gym. So it's like I'm killing two books at once, you know, just going back and forth. So anyway, if you're into Kindle, all that stuff is on Kindle. Check it out. It's all very, very cheap and affordable, and we pass the savings on to you. Thank you once again for joining me. Please don't die for your lighters or anything else, unless it's really worth it. And you know, let's all just remember that, you know, if we take anything away from this, let's just remember that I brought a half ounce of weed through security today and did not get in trouble at all. Thank you.